Welcome to the On Purpose podcast, the program that gives marketers a sneak peek at what agencies are doing on purpose to create purposeful work that ultimately drives true brand purpose. I'm your host, Lisa Calantuono, and this podcast is brought to you by one of the world's leading agency search consultancies, AAR Partners. Successful brands are creative expressions of a business. The most successful are those that communicate with precision and personality. They don't outspend the competition, they outperform by resonating with people, not just consumers. How? By having a distinct vision and modern visual design where the brand identity becomes the brand experience. This is our focus on today's On Purpose podcast with my guest, Todd Irwin, Chief Strategy Officer and founder of Phaser. Todd, thank you for being with me today. I look forward to getting into this.
Hey, Lisa. How you doing?
I gotta tell you, you give a really good read there.
That's not easy to do. I mean, if you're a voiceover person, getting all those words right, I'm very, very impressed.
Well, thank you. Thank you. I appreciate that. I always wanted to be a voiceover and I never really got into it, but you'll be my first supporting comment there.
You know, you can always pivot, whether you're pivoting your personal career or your brand.
That's exactly right. And actually, that brings us right into this conversation of pivoting, right? There's been a lot of pivoting going on in the past, oh goodness, I don't know, 3 years now. But let's start with that. What are you seeing out there in terms of branding at this point in time? We've gone through a pandemic. We still have a pandemic. We have recessionary pressures. We have all sorts of fun stuff. Brands are really under pressure, to say the least. How are you seeing things? What's going on when it comes to brand and branding at this point in time?
That's a good question. I mean, I think, you know, branding, without a doubt, it's more important than ever. There's so much clutter. There's so much out there. But also, I think, you know, companies have gotten better at it. There are some better agencies out there. I think, you know, the bigger agencies, you know, when they all broke up back in the 80s and the 90s, we created this like market of agencies. I think there's 50,000 agencies, maybe even more now in the United States. It's kind of crazy.
Oh, yeah, there's thousands and thousands.
It's insane. But I think that with all the clutter, you know, everybody talks about how important brand is. And with customers, you know, it's what they're attracted to. It's top of the funnel. So, and it keeps on moving up. You know, there's all this talk now about, you know, branding agencies, and obviously this is self-serving to us. You know, branding agencies are becoming more important than ever because brand is becoming more important than ever. Companies, you know, we see are turning their branding agencies into their agencies of record. We never saw that. You know, I've been running agencies now for 20 years, and we were always a brand strategy and creative agency, but the only way that you would ever become the AOR was to position yourselves as the creative agency. Now it's changing. It's going to, you know, they're looking at branding agencies, you know, and there's some pretty big technology companies that are, you know, hiring branding agencies, some of the bigger branding agencies on retainers now, where it used to be all project based. You know, they were coming in, hiring, you know, this agency and that agency on a project to do a refresh or create a brand or whatever it is. Now those agencies are going on retainer because brand experience and brand are top of the funnel, you know?
Yeah.
And it used to be that with brand, right? Let's say they come to like, you know, us or a big agency or whatever, and they would, okay, we got this brand project, we need identity, strategy, positioning, whatever. And it would end up in like a brand book or a dossier on the brand, right. And you would pass it off and you get paid your project fee and move on.
Right.
Now it's like, okay, well, brand experience is really important. So we're getting asked to look at every little touch point, and it's constantly flowing and moving the brand, and leadership is really getting it. They're starting to understand that. It was much harder you know, I think pre-pandemic, to convince leadership the importance of brand. Now they're coming to us and being like, oh, we got to fix our brand. So it's good. It's good. They're getting it. CFOs are not getting it, though. Just the
well, I mean, a different hat, right? A different hat.
But CEOs are getting it, though. They really are.
I agree. And one of the things that AAR partners have seen now over the past couple of years, or I guess even a little bit more, I'm lost in the timeline, pre-pandemic, even during the pandemic, it was, we need a digital-focused, performance-based agency, or we need a performance-based agency. Now it's this, particularly this past year, the narrative has shifted very clearly from, I need a performance agency to, I need a performance agency that's digital-forward, but they have to understand brand and branding.
Yeah, good luck with that.
Yeah, well,
you think it's not easy.
It's not easy.
I mean, you look at the world-class branding agencies, the Wolf Olmses, the Landors, the, you know, Pentagrams, Lippincotts, you know, right. Collins, right, all those companies. I mean, they're immersed in it day in, day out. They really get brand, right? Most of the performance agencies are run by digital people, right? Right. They're digital first, so you know, they're like backing up, right? They either have to acquire a small branding shop or find the right people to come over. And still, though, it's really hard to get that type of leadership to come to a performance branding shop. Those types of strategists, writers, designers who they really want to work at the big branding agencies, getting the talent to come to a performance agency is tough. You know, there was an article in McKinsey that I read about performance branding as the future of marketing. And the term performance branding, I never heard that term before. That was a really interesting term.
That is an interesting term. I have not heard that one yet.
And,
I hate to break it to you, but I'm probably going to start hearing it a lot more now.
I know, right? You know, who used to talk about this a lot was Sean Cummins. He would talk about the bringing together creative and media, right?
Yes.
The creative being the brand, right? Who you are, what you do, why you matter, how you communicate, what's your story, how does it show up, you know, in all your, you know, communications, including advertising, right? All the creative part. And then the other side was tactics, right? Media. Advertising, right. Strategy, PR, all that stuff, right? And that, you know, bringing them together creates, you know, the full picture when it comes to, you know, strategy.
Well, that's the powerhouse, you know.
That is the powerhouse,
that's
right?
What it is. And everybody's looking for, again, that digital first thinking and right. That performance drive and lead gen. But this important, it's like everybody woke up this year saying, but brand is really important. Yeah, I'm not sure where we lost it somewhere over the past few years or so, but it's come back with a vengeance now. And let's talk about that. Why do you think that brands, everybody is sort of waking up saying, you know what, the brand experience truly is vital?
Well, I think it's the way that people experience brands now. It's so holistic, you know, and, you know, in the last 10 years, you know, culture has shifted because of the smartphone. You know, you're staring at the screen all day long and you're being fed communications from companies. And then once you just make a choice to investigate, there's so much to look at. And so, you know, companies are investing in that brand experience. Every little place where you communicate with a customer, that customer journey, everybody's coming to us now asking us about customer journey. You know, again, this is one of those things that we used to have to teach clients, that, you know, brand experience was so important. Now they're coming to us asking us for it because they get it. You know, the brand, it's holistic. It's, you know, the brand acts as a person, you know, so you've got to make sure that it's as buttoned up as possible. I hope that answers your question.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I think you're right. It's about being a holistic brand today, because the consumer is looking for experiences in one way, shape, or form, right? Yeah. And if the experience isn't there, the engagement isn't there, the trust isn't there, they're going to move on. And they're going to move on faster than you can blink your eyes today, right?
And it has to be less selly, too.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Totally right. It cannot be salesy. if you feel like a car salesman, sorry, I don't mean to offend car salesmen, but you know, if it feels like that, if it
what
feels,
are you trying to say, Lisa? I'm out.
Yeah, right. Well, all right, leave it alone. No, I agree. It has to be authentic. Period. End. There's a lot of that going on out there now. That there's the experience also needs to be authentic. And you talk about something very interesting. I love how you talked about branding is an art, but it's also a sport.
Right. Well, first of all, branding is an art because it's executed by writers and designers. So you're writing copy and you're creating imagery, right? Copy in the form of brand story, right? Who you are, what you do, why you matter, like what's your brand story? Stories are more important than anything right now. So you've got writers who are doing that, right? And then you've got designers, directors, motion people creating the visual part of the brand. So that's where the art part comes in. On the sports side, it's about competition. You know, I mean, clients come to us and at the end of the day, they want one thing. They want performance, right?
Yeah.
So they want to win. It's about like, what's my return on investment? And you've got to deliver that. So the sport part comes down to brand strategy and how you approach brand strategy. And I think that, and I'm a big believer in this, is that I think agencies need to pivot to becoming more competitive. I mean, it's not to say that story and purpose and differentiation, unique selling propositions aren't important, but there are things that actually work better. There are things like, you know, depositioning, looking at pain points in the market. What are the customer pain points? How do you solve them? How do you tell that story? What are your competitor weaknesses? How do you take advantage of your competitor weaknesses and, you know, find ways to deposition them in markets? You know, that's what we focus on because we see that works. I think that, you know, these are some of the, you know, most important things when it comes to developing strategies for clients that are going to work.
I agree. It is an art and a science, or an art and a sport. I think it's a great way of expressing how you do what you do. Let's walk through what you do. You have a new client.
Yep.
They're nervous. This is their baby.
Right.
Help them out. Okay. How do you get back to relevance? How do you get to helping that brand become very relevant to a consumer? Helping the clients deliver on a way that helps them. And you just said it, ROI. It's all about ROI. There's no ROI, then it's time to go home, right?
Yeah.
So talk about the relevance and the communication and how you sort of get past the first layers of the onion.
Yeah. But the ROI is relevant to the CEO and to the board members, right? Because they're trying to grow the business. But, you know, that's not relevant to the customer. What's relevant to the customer is solving the problem, right? Like what's the customer problem? You know, what's the pain point for the customer that you're going to solve? And figuring that out is the key to being relevant. And then looking at the competition that you have, you know, and we always look at, you know, top five competitors. We try to identify like a hero competitor or hero competitors and figure out, okay, what are their weaknesses? You know, how do we solve that customer problem and use it in a way that depositions the competitors in the market? That's the core to effective strategy. I mean, we learned this stuff, you know, we didn't learn this stuff from, you know, watching other branding agencies do it, to be honest with you. We learned it, you know, working side by side with, you know, McKinsey and Deloitte on big, you know, Fortune 500 brand strategy projects. You know, I remember years ago, I'm not going to name who the client was, but we were working on big Fortune, it was a Fortune 10 brand. We were doing the brand strategy. There was a Deloitte team on the side doing the business strategy and, you know, just, you know, being in the room with them. And, you know, one of the guys on the business strategy side said to me, you know, we do these SWOT analyses and we look at competitors. And he's like, I don't really understand why branding agencies don't focus on this stuff. Right. You know, you focus on USP, which is fine, differentiation, which is fine, but it's almost like for the sake of it, you know, differentiation for the sake of differentiation. But the real thing that works is how do you solve the customer problem? So you got to find that. That's how you position the brand. And then how do you tell that story? You know, great example of it is what Apple's done recently with privacy. You know, they lost the war when it comes to home, you know, to Alexa and Google Home. Apple never loses, right? Ever. But they lost. You know, I think Siri has less than 5% of the market. So what do? They repositioned the brand. I mean, Apple was positioned around this idea called usability since the beginning. They made the most usable products in the world, beautiful design, highly usable. They repositioned, right? And it was all based around depositioning those two competitors. And they positioned it around privacy, which did what? It's the big customer worry, the big customer pain point. And that worked for them. It's working for them. And Amazon, Google, even Facebook too, they can't compete. I mean, Google now is running these privacy ads, finally. Right. But can they really deliver on it? No. But Apple can. And I mean, you know, when Tim Cook...
And why is that? And why is that? Let's dig into that for a second. Why can Apple deliver on it and Google can't? I think you're going to prove your point in a second.
Yeah, I'll try at least.
You could do it. I have faith
in
you.
I could do it. Yeah, I mean, Google and Amazon can't just because of the way their products are designed, right? Yeah, they're all around. They've built their products around transparency. What I was going to say was that, you know, Apple has done the opposite. You know, Tim Cook told the FBI he wasn't going to open that terrorist's phone. Mm. You know, he was like willing to go to jail for it. I mean, you can't own a brand positioning better than that when the CEO says, you know what, sticks his middle finger up to the FBI and says, go ahead, cuff me. I'm going to go to jail, right? I'm not going to open that phone. I'm committing to privacy. Sorry, Google can't do that. You know, I mean, they can get more private. You know, Amazon's not going to do that either. You know,
no.
I think Jeff Bezos, you know, no offense, Jeff, but you know, I don't think you're going to be willing to go to jail.
I agree. I don't think so. Well, I mean, look, we don't want anybody going to jail, but you would turn it into a branding project.
Right, exactly. No, right. Yeah. Case study.
So, all right. So we talked about the art, the sport, the business strategy. I agree with you. You know, the importance of business strategy and solving the customer problem first. Yeah. How do you get that marketer to take the measured risk? How do you help them to feel comfortable moving forward and trusting you in order to create that meaningful brand?
You know, a lot of what we do is about education. And, you know, it's interesting to me always the level of knowledge that customers have when we get into the room with them. So, you know, we need to sit down with them every day and educate them on strategy, why certain strategies work, show them criterias, try to take them away from subjectivities, especially when we're doing naming and brand positioning. When we're doing, you know, design work as well, there's so, you know, here's the thing about marketing. I don't know why this is either. Everybody thinks they can do it. I think it's easy. You know, you get people coming in here who have absolutely no business or no experience, right? I don't want to offend anybody. Maybe I do, but they have no experience, but they'll tell you how it is, right?
Right. Right.
And we're like, wait, okay. And we get that, right? So what we try to do is, well, we get that in the sense that we understand that people like they like their opinions on things. There's a little bit of narcissism going in there, especially leadership.
Well, it's also their baby.
Yeah. It's their baby too. Totally get that. I want to be respectful to leaders. I mean, you know, I love all of them. We have such a great time working with leadership. But at the end of the day, when you've got somebody who says to you, well, I don't really have any experience, but let me tell you what we think. You know, that's when you run into a problem. So a big part of what we do is education, and we're constantly focused on it, right? Why things work, putting criterias together for what makes a great name, what makes a great brand, how does brand positioning work? Why, here are the case studies. Here's the process, right? Let's respect the process. And talk to them all the time about, we're trying to take it away from subjectivities into real strategy for a reason, because these strategies actually are proven. So that's a big part of how we focus. And I think, you know, most agencies should focus. I see a lot of agencies that, you know, just out there pleasing clients. And I see that because we work with so many startups that have, you know, worked with, you know, junior agencies. I call them junior agencies. Maybe that's offensive to some people. I apologize. Whatever. Smaller agencies. I'm more a small agency, but who just don't have the experience, and they're just yesing the client to death. And then the client's in for like, you know, six figures, and they're like, nothing helps, nothing works. And then, you know, they fire the agency, and then we get a phone call, you know, and we hear those stories all the time.
So. Well, listen, AR just finished a review. I won't name names. I love how nobody can name any names anymore. Oh, right. It was exactly what you're talking about. Right. Yeah. In fact, the winning agency won. One of the reasons why they won is because the client felt like they're not going to be a yes man agency.
That's right. Right?
They're going to push them and debate with them, all in a good way. I mean, nobody wants to fight just to fight, but it was they really felt that they were going to bring their game to the table, right? And bring their best thinking to the table and give them the rationale and the reasons behind their thinking, which is really what any client wants in the end, right? I mean, they're looking to you for your expertise. Yes, to your point, they're going to bring their thoughts to the table too, and their opinions, and they should, but they really want you to say, okay, I hear you, but we need to do this, and this is why. If you give the why part, that's going to help quite a bit, right?
Yeah. Well, let me just say one thing to that quickly is that and that's the reason we do that, but also we also try to form a bond with leadership, specifically the CEO and the founders.
Yes, yes.
Because at the end of the day, they will give up their subjectivities because they only care about one thing, which is winning.
Winning.
They only care about winning. How is brand going to help me win?
Right.
That's the bottom line. So you go back to sports and competition and whatever. That's where it is. So we position ourselves, and all the strategies that we've developed over the years are all around helping a customer win.
So that's great. You know, that really is important to keep them focused and to strip them from the subjectivity, because that really is going to make the key difference, right? So with that said, what, just for fun here and giggles, what has been one of the hardest, most difficult recent conversations you've had with a client that has to do brand work or branding work? What did you learn out of it? What could another client learn from it?
I mean, we're always learning about new strategies and from clients. But the most difficult thing, I think you stumped me there for a second. Was that on our question list?
That's awesome. I'm glad I stumped you. I never stump Todd Irwin. He's always ready to go. He has a comeback for everything.
Well, I listen. Oh my God, you're giving me a hard time here on the podcast. I love it. You know, I think where it gets difficult for us is when we're working with, like I mentioned earlier about, you know, people who don't have the experience, but they get put into leadership positions.
Yeah.
And then they think that they know what they're doing and they know what they're talking about. It doesn't happen that often, but it does happen. And it makes it extra challenging. Yeah, I would say it happens more when we're working with, you know, early stage companies that, you know, don't have the budgets to be hiring marketing VPs or CMOs.
Right.
You know, so they hire a marketing manager, and the marketing manager has their like set way of doing things and is making decisions. And then we're like, we get into the game of convincing.
Well, that's a fair point, especially with scale ups and startups and private equity backed kind of brands, right? Because they're looking to make an impact quickly.
Yeah. I mean, listen, it's not just them. We worked on a Fortune 500 brand strategy project a few years ago, and we're doing a lot of mergers and acquisitions work, big technology company. I won't name them. And they acquired this company, and they brought all the people in. So we were doing all the strategy work on how to incorporate all their people. They made the CEO from the company that they acquired, they made him the CMO. And so of the division, right? And this guy's very smart. He got to the Ivy League school, and you know, he's brilliant when it came. He grew his company and sold it and made a lot of money. But then he comes into this big company, and he, you know, we were the agency of record doing all the brand work, and he calls me up and he says to me, "So tell me about marketing. How does it work?"
Oh, like, okay. Well, that's an easy answer.
I'm like, wait a second. So they made you the CMO. Yeah, they made me the CMO. I got to figure this stuff out. I need a course here.
I need a quick 101 and down and dirty.
What's wrong with the industry here that a Fortune 500 company is making somebody who has no marketing experience into a CMO? So listen, these are agency challenges. Agencies have to deal with stuff like this all the time. And I think that clients should trust their agencies more, because there's some really great agencies out there that really know what they're doing. And if you do, you're going to get better results.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. And, you know, we just finished a review for an ed tech brand. And I remember the client at the end saying, it was actually very cute. She said, "I when I first started out in the industry, I had a boss that made me watch the movie Get Shorty." And she said, "I didn't understand why I had to watch this movie."
Yeah.
And at the end, he said, "Always remember to surround yourself with experts." Period.
Right.
End.
Right.
And that's really what it boils down to. Right. If you surround yourself with experts, you're going to succeed, or you're certainly going to catapult your chances of succeeding. Right.
It's one of the greatest lessons in business. And that's sport. You talk about sports analogies. Like, don't put the left fielder, you know, behind the plate, right? Don't put the, you know, the second baseman on the mound to pitch, right? Definitely don't let the pitcher bat anymore. I mean, you play, you know, find the right players. If you're going to have a design division, only hire designers. If you're going to have a, you know, a strategy division, only hire writers. Like, don't let them cross over. 100%. It's a great, great, great lesson. And nobody listens to it. Well, that's not true. Not nobody. But
not nobody. But we all need a refresher in that sometimes. So I want to close us up here with one more question, which is...
You're going to stump me again?
I don't think so. I don't think I could do that twice. I wouldn't be that lucky. If so, then I better go buy a lotto ticket. So what single bit of advice would you encourage brand stewards to implement tomorrow to help their brand find its purpose? In other words, we're all about on purpose here. What are you doing on purpose? What should they do on purpose? But what should they do on purpose in your world through the perspective and the lens of branding to help them make a mark, make a meaningful brand, break through the clutter? We talked about lots of clutter that's out there. What is the one bit of advice, if you had to boil it down to nothing, that they should do today or tomorrow?
Yeah, I mean, honestly, I do think, you know, there's all that strategy work that we spoke about before, which I think is incredibly important. But at the end of the day, people love stories. They love storytelling. And, you know, when a brand... And we know this, we see the data, the research around this. When a brand invests in their story and tells a really compelling story that has purpose and meaning and solves the pain points, but is deep, it's got depth to it, and they deliver on it. When they tell the story, people are attracted to them, you know? People love stories. They love brands with great stories. And storytelling is not just about writing. It's about writing, designing. It's about, you know, the brand is holistic. It's everything you do as a company, every touch point. It's your products. It's your people. It's completely holistic. But telling those stories and going deep with your stories, you know, really, really going deep, it's going to make a difference, 100% going to make a difference, whether it's B2B, B2C, B2B2C, B2E, B2 whatever, I mean, so many
B to Z. We're getting B to Z.
Exactly. It's storytelling.
I get you. And that's there's a tremendous amount of truth in that. I mean, the fact of the matter is we are a society that learns by story since the beginning of time, for that matter. You know, it is all about stories. Our brains, our minds, we co-create when it comes to stories, and we remember more when we co-create. But you said something very important that I want to leave the listener with. It's not just about telling a story. It's about a compelling story that's engaging, that solves a problem.
That's right.
And that is what ties into better branding, which is what you're doing at Phaser on purpose. This notion of we do better branding by solving problems first, by understanding business strategies and knowing who that consumer is and knowing what their problems are. And taking that, all of that, and realizing that there is an art to this whole thing. Again, the stories, but there's also a sport by understanding the brand strategy in order to become competitive and order. And obviously the end result is to solve the problem. So did I wrap up our conversation pretty well?
No, that was perfect, Lisa. That was so good. I can't even add to that. I want to, but I can't.
I stumped you again.
Thank you.
That's awesome.
That's perfect. Really
that
good.
That is great.
No, you're spot on. It is all about stories and strategies that position brands well. Brand positioning is at the core.
Well, thank you, Todd. Okay. It was great to talk to you. This is probably one of the more fun podcast I've had over doing these
let's do it again next week.
Discussions. We'll do it again next week. So I'm even going to tell Aaron, don't edit all the fun stuff out.
Leave
it in there. Well, thank you so much for being part of the On Purpose podcast today. I am Lisa Colantuono from AAR Partners, Agency Search Consultancy, and I'll be back next time. But for now, remember that the best relationships are hinged on performance, partnership, and true purpose.